You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
Top-down or corporate globalization is really hurting our communities today. The social safety net, that is the attack on all of the public services, education, housing, and health care. That's happening here in the U.S. in a lot of our communities, and it has been happening around the world. In the developing world, it started in the 80s under the name of something called structural adjustment, where these agencies would really force governments to hurt their own people in the name of corporate profit. So that's happening everywhere around the world, and this problem is global. So the World Social Forum...
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Ordering and contact information will be provided at the end of the program. Today, we hear from Professor of Sociology at Howard University, Dr. Walda Katz-Fishman. Aside from being a professor, Dr. Katz-Fishman is a member of Project South, Institute for the Elimination of Poverty and Genocide, and Sociologists Without Borders. We will hear about both of those organizations, as well as her experience in Mumbai or Bombay, India, at the World Social Forum. Interviewed by correspondents Jesus Estrada and Tony Zaragoza, we begin with Dr. Katz-Fishman and her experience with Project South.
Dr. Katz-Fishman, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Well, first, maybe start by telling us about Project South. What is Project South and how did you all get started?
Okay. We are a community-based organization. We're about 17 years old now, and we do popular education to develop leadership among grassroots and low-income people who are stepping forward as part of today's movement for global equality and global justice. And I think it's important to say that we bring scholar activists and youth and union and low-income folk together on the basis of equality. So while we try to talk about developing the voices of those who are most marginalized in our society, we think that our movement is very broad and has many sectors of society in it. So we try to bring people from all those sectors together.
And you, as a member of Project South, got a chance to go to the World Social Forum in Mumbai, or better known as Bombay, India.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit about the World Social Forum and how it got started?
The first World Social Forum was in Porto Alegre in Brazil in 2001, and it came together as a place, as a meeting place for popular struggles all over the world to get together and strategize how they were going to build a bottom-up movement against corporate globalization. And it was in response to the World Economic Forum that meets in Davos, Switzerland in January. So they meet about the same time. And in Davos, the economic and political elites from around the world that are trying to manage this global economy get together. And the World Social Forum is the people's gathering, okay? It's that bottom-up people's gathering to really counter the top-down globalization.
And so it met originally in 2001 in Porto Alegre in Brazil, and a couple years spent there, and then was in India.
Right. Right. The Brazilians were very supportive, and especially the party of Lula and the CUT, their trade union movement. So it met there the first 3 years. And then the International Committee, which is an organizing committee of the World Social Forum, realized that it needed to really further globalize the global movement and to take the World Social Forum to different developing world regions. And they'd asked India to host it, and originally India said no, but India was part of a very successful Asian social forum. And after that experience, they did agree to host the social forum this past year, which was 2004, and it was in Mumbai or Bombay, India. And our understanding is that it will go back, the World Social Forum will go back to Brazil next year, but there is a discussion to take it to some place in Africa, probably Egypt, the year after that.
Walda, could you please give our listeners a picture of what you saw and experienced at this gathering, this global gathering for justice? What was there?
It was incredible. First of all, it was an incredible experience. There were about 130,000 people who were on the grounds of what was a really, it was a closed down textile plant, okay? So they took this old shuttered factory in India and created this venue, this location where there was street theater and constant parades. There were solidarity tents. There were sessions. There was a tremendous amount of cultural exchange. And one of the most powerful things for us was seeing the Indian, the people from the various sectors of Indian society. There were the Dalits, who were considered the untouchables, and there were indigenous peoples, and there were thousands upon thousands of men and women workers from the New Trade Union Initiative, and there were youth. So it was this colorful, nonstop parade, as well as these different places and these sessions where we would get together and have conversations, and it was dynamic, it was powerful, it was colorful, lots of, they say, lots of street theater and lots of protest, lots of attacking U.S. policy, and we kind of agreed that it needed to be attacked. So that's a little bit of the flavor. It doesn't give you half of the colorful power and sense of energy that was there.
Well, this is Hesu. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just great. Well, I have a question maybe for our listeners who may not understand. Why is it necessary to have the World Social Forum? I mean, why is it necessary for people okay. in developing countries to get together and speak about their issues?
Okay. It's really important because top-down or corporate globalization is really hurting our communities today. Jobs, the environment, the slashing of the social safety net, that is the attack on all of the public services, education, housing, and health care. That's happening here in the U.S. in a lot of our communities, and it has been happening around the world, okay? In the developing world, it started in the 80s under the name of something called structural adjustment, okay, where these agencies would really force governments to hurt their own people in the name of corporate profit. So that's happening everywhere around the world, and this problem is global, right? So the World Social Forum is a meeting place for people in all of these towns and communities and cities across the world to get together, to talk, to compare notes, to figure out what to do. You know, how are we going to, you know, join forces in our communities to counter what is happening to us?
I actually have a question because we've been learning about what globalization is doing to small farmers in India. Okay. And I was wondering if you can maybe explain if this was one of the issues that they spoke about, which I'm sure it was.
Yes, it was. So small farmers in India are being hurt in a variety of ways. One way they're being hurt is that huge dam projects to channel the waters are being built, and what those dams will basically do is flood out all of the small farmers. So that's one way in which small farmers are being forced off their land. The other way is that small farmers in India have to compete with huge agricultural corporations around the world. So it's very difficult for them to sell their products and make a profit. So they're actually also being forced out of business by having to compete with global agricultural, these huge global agricultural corporations. So many small farmers, they're protesting, they're taking a stand, but large numbers of them are also moving into the cities and becoming part of the slum dwellers and the very, very lowest paid workers in the cities.
You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. Correspondent Tony Zaragoza speaks with Dr. Katz Fishman about the sessions held at the World Social Forum in Mumbai, India.
What was the Indian government's response and the police's and the army's response to the various demonstrations and the gathering that was going on?
Well, interestingly, it was peaceful, okay? The grounds of the social forum were where most of the activity was taking place. There was one protest that took place the closing day, the 21st, and it took a while, but they did negotiate with the government a permit to march in downtown Mumbai. And, you know, the government agreed to that. So our experience having, you know, protested in Miami against the free trade agreement where the police were just vicious was that the Indian police and the Indian government was much more tolerant of this gathering taking place. And we did not see any violence that was demonstrated by the police or the state toward the, you know, toward the, those of us who were there at the social forum.
Could you tell us about some of the specific sessions that you got a chance to go to and participate in?
Okay. One of the sessions was a session that the delegation we were part of, it's called Grassroots Global Justice, that it had organized. And it was the voices of people from Mexico, from the U.S. South, from primarily Mexico and the U.S. South, talking about how globalization had affected our communities in terms of jobs, in terms of the environment, in terms of the maquiladoras in Mexico. And so it was really a sharing of how the Western Hemisphere has been affected, and it was sharing that with folks from India and other parts of the world. It was also historical in that we talked about how the attack on workers in the U.S., which a lot of people don't realize is taking place around the world, that attack is a very old attack. So we talked about the history of genocide and slavery of this country and how this was a long-term process that was taking place in our communities and explaining why we were in solidarity with people around the world that were challenging U.S. as well as global institutions.
And how were you received?
Very well. Sometimes when people saw that we were from the U.S. or they thought we were from the U.S., they were a little curious and a little cautious at first, right? And then we would talk and we would say we are against these policies of globalization that are attacking, you know, hurting our communities, and we are against the war in Iraq, and we are against, you know, many of the policies of the U.S. government around the world. And so they would then embrace us. So that's basically how we were received. Very warmly.
Walda, wasn't there a large focus on the last day of the forum on the war against Iraq and America's foreign policies and militarization?
That was true throughout the forum. I would say that the protest against the war in Iraq and really kind of military, you know, militarism, you know, in Afghanistan and in other parts of the world, that was a big, big theme throughout the social forum. And there was one, it wasn't the last day, it was the day before, where people were really sharing. It was a whole afternoon of people from around the world reporting what was going on in their communities around the anti-war movement. And folks from the U.S., from Europe, from Asia, all, you know, participated. And one of the things coming out of the social forum is that March the 20th of this year has been designated as a day where there will be global protests against the war. It's actually the first anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. So yep. That was one of the action plans coming out, is to build the anti-war movement and to build the relationships across countries and to focus for now on the 20th of March as the next big day for sharing, you know, these actions around the world.
I also saw that you were involved in another session called Transformative Education.
Yes.
And Global Democratization. Could you talk about that panel, what came out of that panel, what you all talked about?
Right, that was an important panel. We connected with other organizations, including the Paulo Freire Institute in Brazil, and these are institutions that are looking at education and what is happening to education in our communities. And so the theme was, how has globalization impacted our educational experience in our communities, right? The attacks on funding, the undercutting of it, and how that takes place, you know, in all kinds of ways. And then people were talking about what would education look like in the kind of education that we want for our kids, right, and the kind of education for a world in which there is peace and justice and equality for all people. So we talked about what were the problems, what were people doing, and we talked about what would a transformative education look like. And we also talked about action steps. And there are two things I want to say. One is that that was one of the few sessions where we actually used popular education in the session, meaning people broke into small groups, and they were very diverse, had teachers and educators and students from around the world in all these small groups. There were about 20 small groups of about 10 people each. And we answered those questions, and then we had report backs. And part of what we've agreed to do is participate in what's called the World Economic Forum, which is another global organization. And we're going to try to really bring together the voices of teachers and educators and students from all over who are being affected, okay, in this period by globalization, and see if we can't strengthen our forces within our own countries and build solidarity. We're also going to try to talk about what sessions ought to look like at the World Social Forum. Most of them were panels, what we call talking heads, where the audience just sits and listens. And we think that there should be much more popular education and popular dialogue and ways where we can learn to share our knowledge and skills and information in a more participatory way. So that's one of the other things that came out of it, was to try to work on that so that it would, when we go to sessions, they would be much more participatory, audience, you know, audience involved and audience participatory.
And could you tell us what exactly did folks mean when they used the word transformative education?
I think they're talking about an education that would help us transform our societies, you know, to think about a different world, to, you know, to have a vision about what our communities and our societies could look like, you know. What could they look like if everybody had housing and good education and health care and we had jobs and we had good food and, you know, we had time to spend, you know, with our friends and our family. So transformative education is education that is part of the movement for social change.
Well, just to switch gears a little bit, I also read in one of the releases that you and Jerome Scott wrote about a group called Mumbai Resistance that was growing out of the social forum. Could you talk about how that came about and what was going on at the MR, the Mumbai Resistance?
Sure. There were discussions at the highest level of the organizers of the World Social Forum, and there were a couple of points of tension. And one of those points was whether or not people who were part of actual political parties, communist, socialist, and other kinds of political parties, could actually claim their party affiliation. And in the World Social Forum, they could not. They could be there as popular movement organizations, but not political organizations. And another important point was whether or not organizations that participated in forms of armed struggle as part of a transformative movement should be part of it. And again, the folks at the World Social Forum said no. So Mumbai Resistance developed, and it was a much smaller forum, and it was right across the highway from the World Social Forum. And it was a space where everybody there was very clear that when they talked about another world is possible, that world should be a socialist or a communist world. It should really not be a capitalist world. And that all forms of struggle and people who engaged in it were welcome there. So I would say that Mumbai Resistance had a more open conversation about various alternatives, you know, social anti-capitalist alternatives. And it was, you know, it was a more intimate space, and I think we went over there for a couple of sessions and just to kind of talk with people. And we found that it was really refreshing, you know, that people were seriously talking about getting rid of capitalism and building that movement. And so it offered that space in a very, very explicit kind of safe way where we had those conversations.
And did you feel like that tension in the meeting and the possibility to meet together as the Mumbai Resistance, did you feel that increased or lessened the tension that was being felt?
The tension, you mean at the World Social Forum?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that I think at the Social Forum, you were really free to say what you believed, but, you know, you have a lot of people who go to the Social Forum who are still thinking that, you know, reforming the policies around how capitalism works and how trade works, that that is really the real answer, right? And then they're some of us who think that we need to do that work, but that that isn't really going to be the answer. So I think at the World Social Forum, you can say what you felt, but that there at least that the tension is very real, and that there's a very, very large section of folk, particularly the policy folk, who really just want to focus on policy as opposed to really building a bottom-up movement to transform capitalism. And over at Mumbai, it was much more clear, no, capitalism can't work, so let's talk about what that other world looks like.
What are the kinds of groups that are leading the reformist calls, the policy calls, at the Social Forum?
Well, it was interesting because there were a lot of different kinds of folk. You do have a lot of policy people. You also had different popular organizations, you know, women's organizations or Dalit organizations, you know, oppressed people's organizations. And some of them were primarily policy reform organizations and some were primarily movement building organizations. So I think that whether they were unions or women's or, you know, caste or racial group organizations or youth organizations, they fell into both camps, you know. Some concentrated on policy, and some concentrated on building the movement to change the structure and to change the system. There were also different elected officials who were at the World Social Forum, and I think some of them fell into a more policy camp, and some were really much more open to, you know, a revolutionary kind of perspective.
This is People's Tribune Radio. Tony Zaragoza begins to talk with Howard sociology professor Dr. Katz Fishman about her involvement with Sociologists Without Borders.
And I know that you're also involved with a group called Sociologists Without Borders.
Yes.
And you also participated under that banner. Could you tell us a little bit about Sociologists Without Borders?
Yeah, we're an international organization originally founded in Spain, and we now have a U.S. chapter, and I'm on there, you know, I work with them. And what we are is a group of scholars, mainly sociologists and students, who want to focus on issues of social justice and issues of human rights globally, and we work on both transforming our teaching experience but also creating experiences for our students to get out of the classroom and into communities to be in dialogue with communities around the world. And we're new. We're very new, but we do have both Project South and Sociologists Without Borders have websites. So I would encourage folks to visit those websites to learn a little bit more.
So also, do the students get to go on international trips to see how globalization is affecting international communities and local communities as well?
Well, actually, the organization does not have a lot of money to do that. So the answer is we would like that to happen, but we don't yet have the resources to make that happen, okay? But some of the students who are part of the organization actually, you know, have other sources of funding and do visit communities. Someone is in Peru now. Someone will be doing some work in Kenya. So we have a little tiny, few resources to try to make that happen. We'd like it to be a lot more.
And then do they then come back and bring their information and share it with their communities where they're from?
Yeah. They do that, and of course we share it on the website as well.
Could you maybe give our listeners those websites, please?
Okay. The website for Project South is www.projectsouth.org, and the website for Sociologists Without Borders is www.sociologistswithoutborders.org.
Great.
Very simple.
Well, Walda, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Any final words?
Yeah. I think that, you know, we're very optimistic, and we are seeing a movement, a bottom-up movement, a movement for real social transformation taking place in our communities here and around the world. And so I guess the final words would be to say to people to find that movement in your community. Go to our websites and hook up with us, that it's very important, I think, to be part of transforming our world. And what it will look like is very much a part of what we make it. So it's our responsibility to be engaged, to be involved in that process. It's happening, and I look forward to meeting everybody in the movement.
Time is coming to an end for this edition of PTR. But before we go, I would like to mention the upcoming Global Day of Action, taking place on March 20th, 2004. This International Day of Dissent is an opportunity for citizens of the world to speak out against the occupation of Iraq, the coup d'etat of Haiti and kidnapping of President Aristide, as well as exploitation and oppression across the globe. The day can be used as an opportunity to show the world our discontent with the ever-increasing violence taking place all over the globe in the interest of the wealthy. This Day of Action unites people internationally and allows for citizens of the world to network and communicate in order to create the means of developing a new world based on the interests of all the people. If you would like to find a community or city near you that is participating in the Global Day of Action, check out the Answer, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism website at www.internationalanswer.org. That is it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. PTR is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League seeks to reorganize society along cooperative lines by continually challenging the ruling class on the immorality of its ruthless devastation of the earth and human life. If you would like to order any of our print and media resources or request a speaker, please do so by calling 1-800-691-6888. That number once again is 1-800-691-6888. Or you may visit us on the internet at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for A New America, thank you for listening, and please join us next time for People's Tribune Radio. Check it.